It was a frustrated Toronto Mayor John Tory on The Rush yesterday around this time, talking about how it's judges letting criminals walk free over and over again that's contributing to the issue of gun violence here in the city.
Three people that the police chief said during that Project Community Space time were let out on bail three times on firearms offenses. Like, when are we going to get this right?
Well, heck, we have two minors arrested and charged in connection with the accidental shooting of a 14-year-old girl in Toronto last Friday. And there, among the long list of charges, there it is, right at the bottom, where we often see it, failure to comply with recognizance. That's why we spoke, the mayor's comments and his charges as well. That's why we spoke with the Criminal Lawyers Association today.
If you listen to the chief and the mayor, they seem to want to have no regard for the Constitution or the right to reasonable bail. So, you know, a lot of hysteria gets created over the issue of gun violence in Toronto.
The organization says the stats show people charged in connection with serious gun violence have a difficult time getting released, getting out on bail. Now, we also wanted to know whether judges are being held accountable for allowing these dangerous individuals to walk free and then they just commit more crimes.
Anyone who has a concern about the conduct of a justice of the peace or a provincial court judge, which is what we're talking about, judges appointed by the province, can complain to the appropriate regulatory body, and often there is an investigation that's initiated to determine whether or not it warrants referring the complaint for consideration by the Judicial Review Committee.
Now, he mentions the example where a judge wore a Make America Great Again cap. Do we all recall that? I think it was Hamilton, wasn't it? And he was suspended for it, but that's an extreme example. We're talking about, it's the minutia, it's the day-to-day stuff that we're talking about where nobody's paying attention, really. Just, oh, another young offender in his court with a gun, you know, had a gun on him or is around people with a gun, and out you go again. So
yeah, you're right, because that's just kind of a corny, okay, does anybody really care what kind of hat the guy is wearing? Not really. I care more about whether or not a judge has got a record of letting people out on bail when they've got no business being out on bail.
You know, the more we talk about this, the more I'm starting to like the American system. Vote for our judges.
Yeah, but that is ripe with its own set of problems and its own...
Or grandstanding and whatnot.
Well, not just that. I mean,
favoritism.
Then you've got judges who are accountable to the people that got them elected, and you've got... That's a big part of that narrative down there.
The part I like about that, though, is we've been talking a lot about what does the community want? The justice system has to listen to the public, and the public's saying, stop letting out these young offender or not for gun crimes, and that's the sort of thing would resonate with somebody who is running.
The problem is in the States, though, special interest groups often get judges elected. And then you have judges that have to kowtow to the powers that be that got them there in the first place because they want to keep their seat. And that presents obvious problems.
Yeah, I feel like it's not working, and I feel like we go in circles and circles, and there's even a secrecy to it all. I mean, we're going to try to look into the numbers because he's talking about it is difficult for people convicted of gun crimes to be released, to get out on bail, the individual from the Criminal Lawyers Association. Okay, next up, we want to see the numbers. Just show us percentages, show us stats.
And maybe that's its own set of accountability.
I think it is,
yeah.
if we get access to them, and this is the thing we deal with every day. We go to try to get these numbers, and heck, the rigmarole sometimes just to try to get those stats, and often we don't even end up with them. There's a certain secrecy as if each level's trying to protect the other level.
You can love or hate John Tory, not you personally. We know how you feel about these things. But you don't hear that level of frustration in his voice. He's usually pretty even-keeled about things, so I tend to lean on the side of I believe him when he gets that frustrated.
Well, that's what I would almost say, and I don't know that we had an answer to this from the association, but okay, it's difficult to get it. Here are examples, three cases where, you know, three times let out over and over again, so that runs contrary to what you're telling us. And for the mayor even to talk about, to mention judges, for someone like him to even throw out judges based on, as he said, being a lawyer, you're not supposed to criticize, he's headed down that path of, he's frustrated.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a pretty big step for him to take.
Absolutely.
So we will keep an eye on that story, and good for the newsroom for following up. That's some great stuff today.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I didn't just thank you. I mean, the whole group.
I did it all.
Yeah, I bet. What's going on here?
No problem taking credit for it.
With Toronto police.
Well, in the same vein, Toronto police have made a third arrest in connection with that shooting that happened inside a department building hallway neighborhood of Black Creek in Eglinton we've been telling you about. You'll recall five teenagers hit by bullets. So a third arrest now. It was 2 days ago, members of the Police Gun Violence Suppression Unit, the Guns and Gangs Task Force, and the Barrie Police Tactical Response Team raided a home in Barrie. There they found three minors, four adults, along with a loaded 9mm and cocaine. So everyone was charged, but one of the minors faces 16 other charges, including five counts of attempted murder. And you'll recall, this is the second time they've arrested somebody in Barrie. Two of these suspects, we're going to say on the run, suspect, they were up in Barrie. So now this shooting happened in Ward 5. Now, there's been lots of gun violence there of late. That's why we spoke with Councillor Frances Nunziata about that today.
We've had approximately 10 shootings in the past couple of weeks. Residents are very concerned about their safety. I'm getting emails from residents throughout my ward. You know, they're angry, and I'm sick of it. I really am sick of it. It's disgusting.
She admits she's never seen it this bad. Nunziata says street gangs are a problem, and so are the bars where they hang out. She's been having trouble getting liquor licenses revoked. In fact, not one license has been revoked in any of the cases that she's complained about.
That's quite the problem.
Yeah, there's the issue. And there's another thing we're going to look into heading down the road. We want to see, okay, well, we've done this story before.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's deja vu. We've totally done this story.
Yeah, about, okay, go after the locations where they hang out. And I thought there was talk of making it easier to revoke a liquor license, but apparently it's not happening because there you see it. She's complained about specific locations. Nothing's happened. And from our first story, people are worried. They're telling her they're worried about criminals arrested for gun violence being released on bail all the time. They go into jail, they're out a week later.
And then they're going to a booze can.
And then they're going to a booze
can. Shooting up the old booze can when they've had too much to drink. Rinse, wash, repeat. Hence, there's your criminal justice system in a nutshell.
Exactly. So Nunziata says the province needs to get on board with stricter conditions. That's what we heard from the feds to some extent yesterday. Oh, it's all in the province. Even the local level saying it's on the province. I think sometimes the PC government is just the easy one to blame for everything.
Well, listen, we go back to the fact that they've set up their own court for these kind of things to try to make the process not necessarily fairer, but quicker and more expedient so that we have a system that at least treats that problem. The feds have done sweet you-know-it-all this front. They talk a lot and they don't do anything.
Yeah, like sit down. Just sit down. Maybe they've done this, but sit down all levels of government. But all levels of government, stop passing the buck and sit down. What is the concerted effort we're going to make to ensure that someone who's in court for the second time in a short period of time because they had a possession of a gun or gun violence, you're not getting out now?
It should be as straightforward as that, and it's not. Yeah. And I don't understand why. It's almost like we're talking about a government from another country.
Yeah.
But it's just our own government that seemingly doesn't want to get on the same page as what the municipality and what the province seems to want to do.
Yeah, it's everybody trying to protect their ass.
Yeah, it really is, Dave. Yeah.
Speaking of, trying to explain what the Don Cherry protests look like outside the Sportsnet studios in Toronto this afternoon, I thought to myself, what are the whitest events we have? A Kenny G concert.
Check.
Anything involving extreme sports.
Yep.
A Donald Trump rally.
Oh, yeah.
Our reporter spoke to one immigrant there who showed up, but really it was about two dozen white dudes complaining about political correctness.
He's a patriotic Canadian. He supports the troops. I'm a veteran. I have many friends that are veterans and family members and people that do understand about the poppy know that Don Cherry is not a racist.
Eventually, the whole thing disintegrated into talk about, conspiracy theories.
They don't really talk about the problems going on and whether that be something like the Liberals being funded by a well-known convicted pedophile criminal mafia group.
I'm going to assume that he was talking about the rape gangs that are crossing our border, coming up here to rape our women. That's who he was talking about.
So he wants rape gangs to wear poppies?
Have you heard about the rape gangs?
Oh, we just did. By the way, we don't know about the rape gangs. The Liberals are not funded by pedophiles or anything like that. But this is the sort of stuff that comes out at these events. Cherry, of course, was fired from Coach's Corner this week for complaining about immigrants not wearing poppies. Unfortunately, this debate has become very divisive. It's starting to get nasty. Some now attacking the whiteness that is hockey.
They all tended to be white boys who weren't, let's say, very nice. They were not generally thoughtful. They were often bullies. Their parents were able to afford to put them, spend $5,000 a year on minor hockey instead of $5,000, a lot of money. You could do other things besides spending your time in an arena. You could go on a trip and learn about the world.
That's Jess Allen on CTV's The Social talking about her experience while growing up. That's her experience with hockey players. Some are calling for her head now. I feel like this is just starting to go off the rails, truthfully.
Oh, they're calling for mine now as well.
They want you gone?
Yeah, the hashtag fire Ryan Doyle the bigot.
Oh.
Which just came into my...
Oh, that's nice.
Let's get that trending. I could use the exposure.
Who are you bigoted against again?
White people.
White people. Is it guilt?
I'm not sure.
Is it white guilt?
I wasn't experiencing any of that when I woke up this morning.
Is it white rage?
I had a lovely breakfast. I had a little steel cut oats and didn't think to myself, how can I go against white people today? Didn't do any of that. But maybe I'm missing it. Maybe.
You should start a hashtag, allergic to stupid.
Yeah, well, I'd be unemployed if that were the case.
I said to Dave Bradley today, I said, yeah, it's a white sport. It predominantly is a white
91%,
sport.
91%, Dave.
Exactly. I said to him, name me 10 players, minority players. he got three in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think both, two of them were Mississauga, I'm sorry, Subban.
P.K. Subban, yeah. Wayne Simmons, yeah. LaRock. Okay.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it's so...
Currently playing.
The difficulty, right? You state something that's factual and people don't want to hear it because they feel like you're attacking. No, is it a sport that appeals to all nationalities and all races?
But the research is out there to suggest here in Canada, because we've done the stories way before this old Don Cherry thing, that it is not appealing. Some of the reasoning is cost prohibitive. And yes, okay, you can have a rec game, but some people think, okay, but what if I want to be in a sustained sport and go up the ladder and try my hand at maybe junior hockey? That's when it starts to get expensive, so people go elsewhere.
Okay,
now there's nothing wrong with saying that.
No, that's what I mean. After you've stated that, well, what's the next issue? I don't care. If white people watch hockey, they love hockey, and it's a white promise. Okay, whatever. If the NHL wants to expand into minority groups, you're going to have to work on that. Unfortunately, you look at our city now, and I don't think they're realizing how quickly this is happening, but it's basketball and it's soccer that are starting to become king in this city. And you look at our success of late, they're the only ones we can point to. I mean, heck, the Blue Jays are made up of South American individuals. I mean, that's a multicultural sport that we've loved for decades now.
But, well, yeah, Central America, yeah. I mean,
yeah, sorry, yeah. Apologize. Yeah, so it's...
Careful,
it's,
Dave.
Sorry, wrong America. Well. But it's yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know how calling out the truth that is that somehow is so offensive to some people.
And it's, you know, it's the bullying part of it, too. And she... She used a lot of words that really cushioned what she said. She said, my experience. She said, generally. She said, tends to be. She said, often. Those are all words Don Cherry didn't even come close to using.
Yeah.
So you can't call for her hand for that.
And it's her experience.
And she speaks directly about it being her experience. Don Cherry, had he gone on, and I'm done talking about this guy, but you know, in reference to what we're talking about here, had he gone on the air and said, in my experience, I walked down the street and I saw Canadians that didn't have the poppy on. That's ridiculous. How could that happen in this country of ours? No one would care.
Yeah.
Everybody go, yeah, that's about right. Okay, good. Yeah. Next issue. Thanks for the thumbs up, Ron.
And what she's talking about, go to small town America and see how the state champion football team is treated. They really are. There is an ego there for all youth
the
sports.
Friday night lights.
They're treated like celebrities.
Sure.
The signs on the lawns.
And, you know, people play the what about game. Well, what about this and what about that? Because they don't want to actually talk about the issue of bullying in hockey, which is real. It is real. It's part of the culture, both the fans, the coaches, and not everybody, but there are components of that in hockey. Fans, coaches, players, it happens and it exists. They don't want to address that. So they go, well, what about football? Football's got its own set of circumstances. I don't love the head hits in football. I think that there is a tipping point there when it comes to people not wanting to get involved in football. I don't like the treating of Colin Kaepernick, the way that whole thing has gone down. That makes me lose respect for a sport I love as well. But I'm honest about it. And I don't think enough hockey fans are honest about what's actually going on. And that's not to say that there aren't great people that play hockey, great people that coach hockey, and great parents that spend the money that they don't have to keep their kids in hockey. They exist. But you have to call out the other part of it. Just like, it's like cops, right? We talk about cops all the time and say, you know, there's some bad cops out there. Yeah, call them out. There are good cops out there too. Give them praise. It's not that hard.
They should fire you. And now what we need to do... I mean,
you started the hashtag.
It was me. Ultimately, then I still go back to the original question then. So what is the issue? Well, then if the NHL or hockey in general wants to appeal to more cultures, then it has some work to do.
Yeah.
Well, they've been working on it. We've got the Punjabi TV network.
Yeah.
That's been fairly successful. We've got a lot of people of color that enjoy hockey.
But here's the text
but
message.
But the stats bear it out.
Really disappointed in your show's bias on the Jess Allen issue today. Hypocrisy at its best. Guess I'm going to have to find a new Rush Hour show to listen to. Sure. Just as like you're going to probably not watch hockey on Saturday because Don Cherry's not there. Oh, wait. You'll probably make an exception.
Yeah.
Dave McKee continues with his views on the news in moments.
6:15.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news, and they are plentiful today. What's going on with this pedestrian?
Well, it's happened again. We have another pedestrian struck by a construction vehicle. It's a cement truck, again, happened near Keele and Lawrence in Toronto. Man in his 20s was struck. Last we heard, life-threatening injuries. The driver of the cement truck stayed on the scene, nothing yet on any charges, but police tell us the victim was crossing at the intersection. We don't know if he had the right of way, though. The truck was making a turn at the time. Now, Toronto Mayor John Tory has been working with the construction industry to try and improve safety, so we called his office, and we were told the mayor will have an update soon. So no timeline, though, concerning what he and the construction industry have come up with. They have been working together. I don't know what's going to really fix this beyond drive safe, dump trucks. Cement truck drivers, be careful. I mean, you're doing a turn there, for goodness sake. Maybe these individuals are getting lost off the front bumper. Those cement trucks sit pretty high. This is just me speculating, but it's happened again. This is an ongoing issue this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you got the time changing, the weather, all
those
things.
Yeah, it's dark now and whatnot, but we'll see what comes out of the mayor's office when they reveal to us what they've come up with.
I thought this was a big announcement from the province today.
Yeah, it's merging the province's major health agencies. Cancer Care Ontario, eHealth, for example, they're under one umbrella. It means job losses. The CEOs, you don't often hear about this, CEOs of 9 local health integration networks, they are freshening up their resumes. They've been fired. Province's 14 networks, 6 health agencies will be consolidated into a new super agency. It's called Ontario Health. Now, estimates are this is going to save taxpayers about $350 million a year. It's a lot of money. Health Minister Christine Elliott says the changes will have no impact on patients and employees will continue to do some of the same work. Government has said the networks will eventually be eliminated entirely.
I said this earlier, and I think it bears a little bit repeating with you in our presence to see what you think about it. Unions kick and scream. They talk about cuts, 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 frontline workers. That's the problem with this government. Then they axe 8-9 CEOs, and nobody says a word.
Yeah, crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was you don't really ever see this. I can remember the last time we talked about, and you do, and even amongst the general public, right? It's always the little guy that gets tossed out on his butt.
This is a big deal.
Yeah, 9 CEOs and $350 million in savings. That builds up quite quickly.
Think about what that can do for beds and for patients and for frontline medicine.
Yeah. I mean, I saw someone, well, it's going to cost $300 million initially. That's fine. We come out $50 million ahead. And next year, we come out $350 ahead. And the redundancy, when you look at these networks, it's just bureaucratic nonsense. You feel it's just there to create jobs.
You know what it is there? It's there to create jobs. Oh, that's redundancy.
Yeah.
I got a text message here at 7:10:10. Did you guys get a press release from OECTA yet?
Oh, well, yes. Teachers working in the English Catholic system have voted 97% in favor of a strike. They are not an illegal strike position yet. Negotiations will continue, of course. It's the third of 4 major teachers' unions whose members have headed towards a potential strike. We'll see. High school teachers, they're in a legal strike position as of Monday, but you don't have to worry. I mean, heck, go out and find a sitter now anyways. You're a fool if you don't, because all the different labor disputes we're dealing with when it comes to teachers, but they have to file a required 5-day notice. So if teachers were going to be off the job, you would hear on Monday, obviously, that they're going to be on off the next Monday. So you don't really have to worry about this Monday, but I'll keep saying it. Don't wait. Have somebody lined up now that if it hits the fan, you're going to help me out? You're going to help me out? Grandma, you're around? No, don't you go to Florida. You stick around. Watch my kid.
Clock is ticking on this, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But negotiations continue. Let's hope for something. Not that we've seen any hope recently from the two sides. Who knows?
Next story deals with the fragility of the federal government.
Yeah, could the throne speech be the one to derail the minority government? Probably not. But NDP leader Jagmeet Singh meets with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tomorrow in Ottawa. He wants to see some of the party's policy platforms, or his platforms, basically Singh, the NDP's platforms, reflected in the Trudeau government's upcoming throne speech. Singh says he's not going to decide whether to support the throne speech, which is a confidence matter, until he sees what's in it.
I'm keeping an open mind, and I'm not drawing any lines in the sand, but I'm making it really clear I am prepared to vote against, our party's prepared to vote against, if it doesn't reflect the important things that Canadians sent us here to do.
Trudeau has been meeting this week with opposition rivals. He's preparing for the next sitting of Parliament. That begins on December 5th.
When is that again?
The 5th of December.
Oh, that's a lead up. 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's talked to Scheer and he's talked to Singh now, so shouldn't they just start tomorrow? Or
I know. Why not? I agree with you.
Oh, Jay, you've got to get people back to Ottawa, and we know that takes time.
Oh, okay.
Only so many flights to Ottawa. Come on. Cut them some slack. I can't even say that. Straight face.
It's like you tried.
Like, cut them some slack.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't think the throne speech is going to derail this government.
No, but it tells you where the opposition stand. If they're willing to give and give and give, okay, well, then you've given Trudeau what he wants. If you got the courage of your convictions, bring the government back down.
I mean, they talked about no coalition, but there's different forms of coalition. There's an outright, we're in a coalition, and then there's, we're in a coalition, but we're not going to tell you.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I mean, you saw the NDP and the stuff they got through under the minority Wynne government. We're going to just face the same scenario.
Where do you want to go next?
We can do, well, let's do the last one.
Okay.
So it's a quick one on the cenotaph. So Toronto's mayor indicated yesterday on this very show they would likely have some security video of the person who vandalized the cenotaph outside Old City Hall. I'm starting to wonder if that's the case, though, because we got a news release from police late this afternoon about the graffiti, and there's zero details. No pictures, no video of the suspect. All it mentions, it's believed to have happened sometime between 10 p.m. on Monday and 7 a.m. on Tuesday. That's it. So it doesn't look good at this point. I'm guessing they couldn't find any quality video.
Yeah, which is they need a new camera out there.
So many cameras in that area. There must be so many cameras.
Well, he said there was one yesterday. He indicated there was one that kind of revolves around the street and stuff. But
the TD's across the street. Go to the TD. Those bank guys.
Yeah, and why do we not have one, like a couple of directly on that building? That was what I was kind of getting at yesterday. But when he said, okay, well, we've got cameras, I thought we'd at least pick something up. But the fact we didn't might need a rethink on.
It was late, early in the morning, should I say? I mean, usually they just follow them down the street from each business and their cameras.
Yeah, so maybe it's time we got serious about, because it's hard to believe they can't give us a time as to when it happened.
No, just that.
Well, it's a pretty big window, right?
Yeah, we already knew that.
Happened on a day called Tuesday
between 10 and 7 a.m.
That's like when the cable guy comes.
That's right. I've got a window for you. That's not a window. That's a gaping hole in my day. That's what that is. Dave McKee, always a pleasure,
thanks,
sir.
Guys.
His views on the news featured prominently on this program every day at 6:00.
Sign up to get your Google credit card and IndieWeek. It kicks off tonight. Details when we come back.